Boys.
Hey.
How are we? Big boys. Weekend. Big fella, fire up.
Come on.
Yeah, I'll get there. I'll get there. It's been a huge one. It's been a big couple of nights. What a week. What a week, guys.
Okay. Everyone wants to know, Daniel, how many... Look, we might have to carry this episode. He's seeing stars. But I want to know, everyone's come up to us. Have you hit the 60? Did you hit the 60?
I was like 58.
Wait, so I think he might have surpassed it.
I reckon you hit 60, to be honest, because you got some late beers at like 2:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
But it was only beers. Is that what we come to? Only six, because you had vodka and wine and shit on top of that as well.
Yeah, that didn't count. That was always going to be the only the beers.
That's pretty impressive.
So you would have been up to about 80 drinks, I reckon, then, with all the wine.
Yeah, definitely about probably 80, 85, I'm going to say. Yeah.
That's a fair shout. That's not a bad effort, Tom.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Feeling the repercussions of it now?
Yeah. It's a combination of a lot of things. I think I got heat stroke as well.
We get back to the track. We get back from the track yesterday and like he's normally running hot as it is. And if anyone's seen him over the weekend, his head's like on a ball of fire. And he's like, Jim, I'm cold. I'm so cold. I think I've got heat stroke because it's like, oh, it's fucking hot.
Yeah, it was. I think what happened was on the Saturday night was a lot bigger than what we thought. Well, I was gonna go.
Yeah, you were.
We found a loophole at the track where somehow our paddock passes, media passes got us to the corporate suites.
Yeah, so, I think that might have been an accident. Yeah, I don't think we're meant to be there.
So when you start day drinking and then...
With the Foo Sport boys as well, yeah, they're up and about.
Yeah, they have a crack, don't they?
We've met some cool people over the week. But so then the beers at the track was just the combination. And then you don't drink any less when you come home. So, yeah, God, I'm going to struggle tonight, boys. Well, why don't we start off... Let's talk about the week and what we did and... what was the highlight, boys?
Oh, for me, definitely the highlight was the track walk. I don't think that was anything.
Yeah.
Besides last night, which maybe we'll touch on a little bit. There's not too much we can say, I guess. But
yeah,
the highlight for me was definitely the track walk. Just walking with all the like MotoGP boys, Bagnaia and Bezzecchi in front of us. We're pretending like we knew what was going on. Mm. I think that was very cool.
That was pretty dope. It was pretty surreal experience. It's been a very much pinch me weekend, I think, all around.
Yeah. What about yourself, Daniel?
We've done some pretty cool stuff, but you know what? To be honest, just sitting in Siberia and watching the racing, the weather was immaculate. Shout out Superbike R1M, watched the MotoGP race with him.
Nice.
And Lockie and Curtis. So, no, it was good. I think for me that was a highlight, just being able to sit there in mint weather and not have to stress about Phillip Island turning for the worse. But there's definitely a whole lot of honourable mentions being on the pit wall with Aprilia when Mav went top spot and got a bit of airtime. So that was pretty cool.
That was very cool. T-Shavs?
Oh, I think definitely the pub last night. We're not going to go into it too much because you don't kiss and tell, you know what I'm saying? But, Senna. Finishing third in the Moto2 race for me. He was on form last night. We were there with his parents and everyone was so proud and happy. And, that was an incredible scenario for we did the pod with him earlier in the week and comes in clutch and gets his first podium at his home race.
That was awesome. Yeah. We'll dive into it a bit more.
How excited was he afterwards when we seen him in the back of the paddock though?
I know.
He was just wrapped.
Hey? It was so good. It was so good to see and like watching all the Aussie boys. It was great and, you know, it was very cool to see him afterwards and it was probably a bit of a sense of relief, but, you know, to do it in your hometown, everyone there. Obviously having, all that support, like it really pushes you on because – all the guys had so much support there and all the families and stuff. It was so cool. And as you said, Tom, it's not even like it's their home track.
No,
he hasn't even raced there since 2019.
It was 125.
150 thing.
150 thing. Like an Oceania Cup bike.
Oh, I think he did a bit of super... He filled in super bikes as well around that time.
Mm. Okay.
But yeah, it's wild. And I'm sure like when I was in Siberia, I'm sure it was the same for you guys. Whenever he came past in that third spot, the crowd just went absolutely bananas.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, no, it was cool.
Yeah, that was definitely. And like he had 30 family and friends there. Like you don't realize how big that would have been for him. So we get to the pub last night and he's got two full tables of his family and friends there. And they're all from, like, we were talking to that lovely lady and she's drove down from Sydney.
Yeah, yeah.
She loves the podcast and she's family friends with Senna. Forgot her name, but she'll be listening. And she was just so proud, you know, to be involved in a bit of a fairy tale scenario.
100%.
And almost got the dub.
I know.
Now imagine how big that would have been.
Yeah, Furman just sent it up the inside, which we'll cover soon, but yeah.
Nah, guys, a great weekend all. And just a shout out to our sponsors, Moto Heaven as well. Catching up with Adrian this weekend. Yep. It was awesome to be with them. And thanks to Moto Heaven because they're the ones that put this all together at the same time.
100%. Shout out to the boys at Benzina as well. We bumped into KP in the back of the paddock.
Yeah, yep.
Always good having a
bloody superstar.
Having a yarn with KP, he's the man.
100%. Boys, MotoGP, this is what it's all about.
Yep.
Let's get some results going.
Let me get them up, boys.
T-Shavs, how you feeling, mate? If you're watching, this is almost one you should watch this episode because you can just watch T-Shav and how he's fighting his demons like that, David Goggins in this one.
That meme, hello darkness, my old friend, that's Tom right now.
Yeah.
So you can't even get a laugh out of YouTube. All right, sprint race results. Jorge Martin, Marc Marquez, Enea Bastianini were your top three. Pecco Bagnaia, Franco Morbidelli, Raul Fernandez, Fabio De Gianantonio, Aleix Espargaró, Augusto Fernandez, and Luca Marini. Round out the top 10
top
in the sprint.
On the Repsol Honda.
Yeah, no points, but.
Oh, yeah, that's rough, isn't it? You know top what? I'm still happy. That's such a Repsol Honda thing to do now, but I'm still happy for him.
Yeah, it's not a bad effort that. Race results, Marc Marquez, Jorge Martin, Pecco Bagnaia were your top three. Fabio De Gianantonio, Enea Bastianini, Franco Morbidelli, Brad Binder, Fraud Maverick Vinales, Fabio Quartararo, and Raul Fernandez.
You know what? Raul Fernandez, we'll get into Marc Marquez and all those boys, but he had a fantastic weekend.
He had a ripper weekend. No aero as well.
No aero on that motorcycle.
How good did it look?
It looks so much better. Everyone can agree with that. But Raul Fernandez, I think it was two top 10 finishes over the weekend. Good on him, man. He must have been one of the, if not the top Aprilia, just about both races. Maybe Mav might have pipped him in one of them.
Fraudy pipped him.
But yeah, that was it was good to see, and it was very noticeable.
Yeah, 100%. He had a ripper weekend. He was flying through Q1 and had a decent Q2 also.
Yeah.
I think he was up on the front row at one stage.
So. Yeah, that's right. And I guess as well, it was, as Tom says, fucked. As Tom says, it was almost an advantage to go through Q1 because you knew the track conditions because everything was so up in the air until, you know, Saturday afternoon, I guess.
That's right. You know, especially here, it's forever changing and it does dry pretty quick. So those guys that came up, they were on it straight away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which was pretty good.
But Marc Marquez, boys, what are we thinking? Over the tear off. You can't fucking write that shit.
You can't write that, eh? Like, that was a fair crack. That was a great race. I kind of spew on my tips because when I got here, I'm like, nah, he's going to win.
Yeah.
Like, you could just sense it. You knew it was
coming. He was quick all weekend. Martin was obviously the barometer, but Marquez was right there. He just fluffed a start in the sprint.
Yeah, which was probably, you know, probably better for everyone else because I think he would have just pelted everyone by a few seconds for sure.
Mm.
But, man, the way he was lining it up, like we were watching him come through Stoner, like he was just gaining so much on the brakes then into Miller.
Yeah.
He was so much later and then he was right up all the time. And then you can tell the difference between the 23 and the 24.
Yeah.
But then I think at one stage Martin had just overcooked his tyres and as soon as Mark passed him, that was it. It was game over.
He had so much more edge grip coming out of Honda.
Yeah.
Marc Marquez going in the inside of Jorge Martin. Like, it was unbelievable the amount of edge grip he had. And Danby made a good point watching the race with him. When he went over the tear off and lit up his rear tire, I was like, oh, fuck, he's going to cook his rear tire. That's it. But he only just lit up the middle part.
Yeah.
Where realistically, I didn't think of that. You're losing all your traction on the sidewall. So
yeah, that's right.
It was that was a good point. But what a ride from Marquez, man, on the GP23. came back, like he had to pass like six riders and a lap, and he somehow did it, which is, you don't see that often in MotoGP these days.
No, not at all. It was a fantastic comeback. Like I said, you know, just, I think for him too, he's really good at this track.
Yeah.
That fast, flowy, like you said, you're always on the side of the tire. He prefers to carry that extra speed through corners.
Mm.
And you can just see that he's a cut above everyone else. And it was funny, we were watching that practice session with the Aprilia guys, and they were even saying, like, he's an animal. Like, if the bike is stepping out, people are going to shut the throttle.
Yeah.
Every other rider shuts the throttle. If you look what he does, he just cranks it open even more to get it around.
Mm.
So his riding style around here was just perfect.
I know, yeah. It just suits him so well. And obviously all the riders love it, but fuck, it's so good watching MotoGP bikes around there.
It was. And shout out to Digia as well, man. Yeah. That was an unbelievable ride.
Yeah.
To do what he did, considering his shoulders absolutely gassed.
Yeah.
And he made a couple mistakes into Miller or Honda, whatever you want to call it. I honestly think if he didn't make those two mistakes, Pecco was not on that podium.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Because at one stage he sort of dropped off. I think it might have been for that tire pressure. Mm. He comes back up, passes Bastianini and all those, that group he was in with Binder and Mav and all that, and he was just on a roll.
Yeah.
And he was starting to break, and then unfortunately two mistakes. But passed him straight away again. So
it was quick.
You know, obviously a massive talent there, and I think Ducati have now noticed that, hence that 2-year signing for him. Ladies and gentlemen, just a quick reminder, we are proudly supported by the great team down at Moto Heaven. They are absolutely unbelievable to deal with. And if I were you guys, I'd definitely head over to their website.
Yes, you never pay full recommended retail price at Moto Heaven, and free delivery for any order over $100.
100%. And they've got the best, most usable website in the whole motorcycle industry. Dare I say the world. They got parts finders. You can chuck in any bike you want. If it's a gold KX250 or an R1, you can find anything you want. Helmets, they got everything. Head to motoheaven.com.au where you will get everything that you need. That's a guarantee.
Banyaya, man, this is it. I put in our power rankings. It's check the Jorge Martin. It's Banyaya's move. Like there's what, three races left. It's around a 20-point lead.
Yeah.
He now has to be almost more the aggressor. He can't just sit back in third every race.
Yeah, 100%. I think he's got to show a front wheel first, most definitely. I've still got a funny feeling that Martin's in the crack.
Yeah, I know.
And to be honest, credit to him to not crumble under that pressure this weekend.
It was Marquez especially right on your ass for 10, 15 laps.
Yeah, the guy that's basically stolen your seat.
Yeah.
And power to him for standing strong. But I don't know, man. I'm still not 100% convinced.
Mm. But if it gets down to...
If it gets down to the wire, though...
Well, if next round in Thailand, if Martin wins and puts another 5 points on Banyaya, it's 25 points going into the last two rounds, it just makes it that a little bit tighter.
It heats up.
You know, and he's good at Valencia as well, Jorge Martin. So
absolutely he is.
It's really heating up and I don't know. It's interesting, man. I was surprised if Banyaya, just race pace, he just wasn't there. And I really thought he was saving his tyres.
Yeah, so did I.
And I was like, oh, nah, Marquez is going to chew his rear tyre. Jorge Martin, I thought he was just going to dump it down in Honda. But they just had the pace and Pecco just couldn't stick with him. I did not see that part of it. I did not see that part happening, but... Going into the last three races, this is where now Ducati... This is where Ducati has to turn both keys
and press the
nuclear button on Jorge Martin's bike.
100%.
We've got some inside word that there is no way, and this is actually in an upcoming pod, there is no way that Ducati is going to let Jorge Martin win.
Not take that number one plate to Aprilia out of all people.
Yeah, after like, dumping him, like that's just embarrassing, isn't it?
100%, man. That's the thing, like... Look, it's going to be interesting when it comes to it, but yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, their play is going
to
be.
T-Shav, thoughts on that? Go on.
No, I I have to agree with they just can't let it happen because they're going to regret that decision. We all know that they're going to regret the Bastianini decision as well. But who knows? Mm. Who knows? It's too obvious now, isn't it? Like, if something does happen to Martin's bike,
that's a great point. That's a great point. It is too obvious. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's talking about it in the paddock. It's everyone's talking about the media. We're talking about it. We're obviously media now. Our media passes. but everyone's talking about that. If Martin has an engine failure, and no one has engine failures. The only outlier was Marquez the other week.
That's right. First time in a long time.
When was the last time you had one of them? If Martini just miraculously has an engine failure, mate, the whole thing's rigged. Buddy, the Americans killed Kennedy. The Americans did 9/11 and all the conspiracies so, come through.
06 Valencia with the tyre.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's going to be interesting. And back on Pecco and even the Beast, like, they couldn't get their setup right. And that's the good thing about these flyways, and especially Phillip Island, as much as we hate the weather when it's bad, it allows for that.
Yeah.
Different result because people can't get that set up right. If you're spending a whole day in the wet, then the next day half and half. Now with the sprint, like,
that's right. That's where you gotta really ride around those problems, and like, you know, his people don't want to admit it, but Marquez is probably the best at that. Like, look at what he did on that GP23.
100%, man. You know, he seems to be extracting the most out of it. So
God, that isn't he? Like, it's just crazy. It is really crazy on a GP24, it's clearly that much better than everything else, but just to still even hold the drive, you know, that's that big thing of that GP24, is just getting that smooth power delivery out and getting that drive and then, you know, overtaking Jorge Martin on the straight, like, just to, on those two left-handers to ride like that. Yeah. And the braking, like, we're sitting at turn one, watching him go, as you said, around Stoner, and just the amount of time he makes up through there and then the braking on Jorge Martin, fucking hell.
Yeah, that's an animal. That's impressive, man. That's impressive. How's Bezecchi and Mav coming together?
We haven't even talked about it, but I'm just going to make the executive's decision. Aero is our sexy heaven dick of the week because it's dangerous. If 100%. If Marco Bezecchi got killed in that incident where it's a 330 km/h crash, it's fucking terrifying because he got sucked in bullshit aero. I 100% guarantee that aero would be canned next year.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
You know, and you just can't have that. You can't be able to be sucked in. And it's happened at Misano, I think.
We've seen it so many times. Yeah. Even last year, how many times did we see it? People getting sucked out of it.
It's too dangerous. And then Fernandez takes his wings off, you know. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. And a track like Phillip Island, which is such high speed, and that crash was
that was scary.
It was scary. You don't want to see that with anyone.
No,
you know, everyone loves a big crash or whatever, but far out, man.
Not when it's like that, though. No. You know, even Acosta, his high side out of Siberia was monstrous. But
you haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, there's no footage of it. Similar to Superbike.
Yeah, he must have been falling asleep. It
must be the same camera operator. But that Bez one, there was obviously a lot of aftermath to that because Sava, he got copped a bit of debris in the arm.
Yeah, true. That's right. We're having a chat with him as well.
Yeah, and he couldn't move his right arm, so he had to retire from the main race.
Yeah.
And he was struggling. He couldn't even shake our hand at the end of the day when we seen him, poor bloke. So he wasn't too impressed with the Phillip Island track marshals, that's for sure.
So did debris get left out after the incident and then it popped up from another bike and hit him? Was that?
Yeah, right.
Jeez.
Yeah. Which is pretty wild.
Yeah.
You know, considering that's a massive runoff into turn one.
Yeah.
So they, were obviously sleeping quite a bit. But And I think, was it you saying that, or one of you boys saying that Digia copped it in the shoulder plate as well?
No, it wasn't me.
Someone said that Digia copped a bit of debris in the titanium shoulder plate on his suit and it, like,
oh God!
Like, left a massive mark, or even like a crack in the shoulder plate. So
crazy,
it's pretty
wild.
Yeah. But look, glad that they both got up and they're okay.
Yeah.
Love Mav giving him the bird.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was hilarious. Typical Maverick Vinales.
He got up so quick, and to defend Maverick, which people can be shocked by me. I actually like the guy, but I like making fun of him. Like, he didn't know what happened. Like, he didn't know that's right. In the heat of the moment, he just got sucked. Like, obviously, Bezecchi, you got sucked into him and there's nothing he could do. But in that heat of the moment, you can tell, you know. I can understand why he would be angry, but...
Of course.
I'm sure he looked back on it and was like, oh, fuck, like, that's just monstrous. And that would have been scary for Maverick. Like, you don't know what's come behind you and then, bang, you're taken out at 300 plus Ks now. Jesus.
Yeah, you don't expect that at the end of a straight going into a turn like that, that's for sure.
Nah.
You know, and like you said, we've seen it Alex Marquez, prime example. We almost took out four riders at the top of Mugello.
Yeah.
It is really starting to become a massive issue in the sport.
Yeah.
Like, it just needs to really be stripped back to bare bones.
Yeah, it does. The bikes look better. You know, the racing will become better. Like, it's a win-win, seriously. Yeah,
100%. And I get that they're prototype bikes and they've got to, you know, be ahead of the curve and all that, but you know, it's only going to get to a point where it's, like you said, too dangerous, something bad's going to happen, and then they're going to realise and go, fuck, we should, you know, bring this back.
Seeing the bikes up in person, obviously, like you went into the Aprilia pits, so did we, looking at the bikes and then seeing the Ducatis up close when we're walking up pit lane and all that, like, you just don't realise how big and wide these things are. Like, they are huge. They look heavy as well. I'm not too sure if they are, but... like, they're just so wide compared to 5, 10 years ago.
Yeah, they are. They're a heap bigger. The Moto 2 bikes aren't that big.
Nah.
No.
They don't look that big. They look like a really good size bike to ride.
They almost look like the same size of bike MotoGP kind of came out with, you know, in 2003.
Yeah, 100%. That's a good point.
Moto 2 lap times were the same as MotoGP 20 years ago?
Yeah.
So same lap time.
That's technology.
Yeah. So that's like they were doing 131s, like just
Moto 2 run quick around GP Phillip Island.
3 seconds a lap slower. So anyway, we'll get into Moto 2 soon. But I just found that fascinating. So Valentino Rossi's pole lap 20 years ago his fastest lap of the Grand Prix was the same as the fastest lap of Moto 2 this weekend.
That's wild, man.
That is nuts.
Yeah.
But now it's far out. It was always Phillip Island always just produces good racing.
Yeah.
Always a wacky result.
Always a wacky result. But I was pretty happy. I think there was 90,000 people there. Yep. I think last year was 80,000.
Okay.
So I thought that wasn't a bad turnout considering Friday was a shit show. Saturday we didn't know what was going on. Sunday wasn't bad. So
yeah, I didn't get to walk around the whole track this year, but yeah, it was pretty chockers through one all the way around up to where I was.
Yeah.
You know, and even into the middle of the hay shed, that was booming.
Yeah, I
felt turn one was probably a little bit less than usual, but then other places around the track looked like it was super packed. So
yeah. I probably think the same, actually.
Yeah, because I remember it used to be like when Casey Stoney years, they were probably eight or nine deep on the fence turn one. But shout out to Travis Hall. We were talking to him at the pub last night, CEO, and they threw a lot of resources at this Grand Prix. So monster trucks, the Hot Wheels, there was a lot of things that he implemented. They got a few more celebrities this year as well. We saw in the back of that paddock, there was a heap of Vietnam supercar drivers.
That actor, Jack Reacher. Yeah.
Jack Reacher was insane.
Yeah, that dude's a fucking big gorilla.
Monstrous.
I was walking over the bridge and I had to double take. I'm like, holy shit, that's Jack Reacher. Like, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
And so I think that was it's been a big step up this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot more getting around. And you can see it's starting to become a little bit more glam.
Yeah.
Like, hopefully not too much, but it's starting to sort of go down that path.
Yeah, exactly. Do you boys think Marquez was impressed with my Make on the Great Again hat?
Oh, what a video, man. I reckon he wanted to piss himself off and then he would have had a chat. But... due to contractual obligations, you have to just smile and wave.
We had a lot of people come up and pissing themselves.
Yeah,
like
they loved it.
Yeah,
I actually meant to take a bathroom break in the back of the paddock, and someone had written it in the wall in the men's bathroom.
Really?
Yeah, I swear, I got a photo of it.
No shit, that's so funny.
Right in the first cubicle, it's got Make Honda Great Again.
We're trying to find Alberto Puig and make him wear it.
Dude,
that would have been a funny photo. I wonder if he would have done it.
Nah, probably not.
Probably not. Come on, we've got our 10-point plan. We're actually here to help.
You know what would have been funny? If you got a leash to wear it.
Oh, yeah,
seeing
true.
As he's going there.
Going to him. Yeah, he's a part of the program.
That's it. Got to get the Euros in.
Yeah, 100% you do. All right, boys. Moto 2.
Moto 2. I can get the top three out before getting on my app here. Fermin Aldeguer, Aaron Canet, and our pod favourite, Senna Aegis.
Hey, T-Shav, how are you feeling? Give us an update.
Terrible. Go on.
I agree with fourth. Diego Moreira, Manu Gonzalez, Barry Baltus, Tony Arbolino, Sergio Garcia, and Marcos Ramirez.
I think it's
your top 10.
I think it's a pretty easy one. Of that performance of the week is Senna Aegis.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
It was so crazy as well doing the pod. It's obviously released now. Listening to Senna only 4 or 5 days before the actual race and his mentality and how he thinks, you know, going from a bad weekend, which was Montegi, to now Phillip Island and the turnaround and how you then don't carry that all over and then bang, gets P3 and was looking quick from P13.
Yeah, he had a great start. That was a fantastic finish from where he started.
And he made a mistake going into, I think, Honda, where he really ran wide and dropped like 4 or 5 positions and then made it back up again.
Yeah, he was stuck behind Aigura for a lot of the race.
Standard.
Yeah, for a lot of the race. We rewatched it last night. He was 8th for a long time. It wasn't like he got up to 3rd in early in the race.
Yeah.
So. No, he did. Took his time. But I think he would have caught Alonso Lopez.
He was on his way.
He was cutting that back by half quite a second, significant margin.
Half a second a lap.
Yep.
Standard Alonso Lopez just destroying his tyres, but...
Typical. Canet, the bridesmaid, as always.
It was a hard move by Furman. It was a fair move. The commentator said it perfectly. He just wanted it more.
Yeah. He needed it.
Yeah.
But I think he's still on fraud watch.
Mate, he's on... I've already said it. I said it to randoms at the pub last night. Furman is on fraud watch from round one next year. He's already on fraud watch.
100%, man. Look, fair play. It was a fantastic ride. And the way him and Canet duked it out was amazing.
Yeah, it was good racing.
It was great racing. And power to Canet, man. He's been on fire for the last handful of rounds. And I think, I'm stealing this off pod fave, Lockie Boyle. And it's not a bad take, is that if he hadn't have been injured, this championship would have been a lot different.
What was his injury?
To be honest, I can't even remember.
Yeah.
To be fair. But the way he's carrying himself at the moment is unbelievable. And I feel for him. But, yeah.
It's racing, man.
It's racing, man, at the end of the day. And I think it was just on that limit.
And you're going up against just obviously so much high-quality talent. Furman's so quick when he wants to be. But, you know, it's fuck 1 in 10 races.
First win since Germany.
Yeah.
That's a long bloody time, boys.
It's his third win this year, right? He's done Jerez, must win Sachsenring,
and now
Australia. So, you know. But then Aigura, man, Mr. Consistent. I was waiting for him to bin it.
So was I.
But just takes fourth, and then he can just about easily sew it up in Thailand.
Well, I think if he had have taken a podium.
Podium, he would have won it.
Oh, he would have.
Yeah.
So it was just a podium.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, so they would have had the World Championship tees ready.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I've got his fairing.
Oh, yeah, true. You picked up his fairing. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't realize carbon splinters as well.
Yeah.
End up with all these carbon shards in my hand.
You did, yeah. Worth it.
Yeah, 100%. But, yeah, man, when they came together, though, through the bottom of MG, like the crowd went bonkers, man. I was like, we were all, like, looking at each other on the hill going, Center Age is going to be a Moto 2 winner right now. Like,
I was. It was so close for them. Aldeguer almost lost the front just trying to dive bomb.
Could you imagine if that had happened?
Oh, God.
My God,
would have been awesome.
Like the scenes were huge.
Yeah, yeah, the scenes were huge, and they would have been somehow even bigger last night.
But absolutely. Look, that was probably one of the best Moto 2 races. Oh, I mean, it's so hard actually because that one with Vietti and. There's been a lot of close ones this year, but I think going down to the wire and actually fighting for position, that's up there for sure.
Yeah.
But that category, as we always say, we've been harping on about it. It's in such a good spot with a whole bunch of great riders.
Yeah.
Doing so well.
Like,
they're doing so well.
It's only
going to
get better and better.
And Aigura going up, not just going to LCR, like going to Trackhouse. He's going to win a world title. Like, that's the way to do it. You just can't just go to just LCR Honda and just watch your career. We say it all the time, but go to the toilet.
Would he be the first Japanese rider to win a title since Daijiro?
Hiroshi Oyama.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure he won on the 250s.
Yes, you're correct.
Yeah, yeah. In the Simoncelli days, T-Shavs. Give us a report. How are we feeling?
Yep. Yeah, it's still bad. Still bad.
He could be the first person in the history of podcasts to have a nap during the episode.
There's a big chance. He's fogging up a little bit, but...
Am I? Oh, goodness. Carry on.
Right you are.
Right you are. All right, Moto3, Daniela.
Moto3. David Alonso, Danny Holgado, Adrian Fernandez, Stefano Nepa, David Munoz, Rusei Yamanaka, Tayo Furusato, Luca Lunetta, Jose Antonio Rueda, and Angel Piqueras.
Beautiful. Where was our boys Joel and Jacob?
Joel just outside the 10 in 11th, and Jacob, fantastic ride to 13th.
Nice. As a rookie, very good.
Yeah, I mean, that was a brilliant race too. Joel leading for a lot of the time there through those early laps. And
spewing. Did he get muscled out? Is that what happened?
I think he got beaten up a little bit this race, to be honest. Like, he was looking really good. And it was crazy, you know, they were passing him on the straight, but man, into turn one and through the loop.
Yeah.
He just made him look.
It was quick.
Pretty average at times.
He got dicked in his qualifying, though, and this is what a lot of people, and it would happen to a lot of riders, and you'd never know, but his their generator in his pit box shit itself.
Yeah.
And the tire warmers, he didn't get a heat cycle through his tires. So he went out in cold tires for qualifying. And then obviously your tires don't work properly as it is. So then the pool, I think he got seventh in qualifying. It was a very good result for him there.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Especially on slicks.
Yeah.
They need all the heat in the world.
Yeah, exactly right.
Especially with that wind at Phillip Island, it's not easy to generate heat into them. But fair play, seventh isn't a bad effort at all.
Exactly, but bro, David Alonso, seriously. Guy, he's just a little gun, man.
He's so good, man. Like, I was watching it, as I said, with Curtis and Lockie, and he just times it so perfectly. He lets everyone battle, sits fourth, fifth, comes through, makes his move, has more in him, makes that break. Everyone else is just fighting behind him.
Yeah.
He can win by 2-3 seconds.
I know, it's nuts, man. Like, He's just so clinical and just pulls away at the right moment, at the right time, and then no one can touch him. He'll pump out like two, three laps. And like, when does that ever happen in Moto 3?
Oh,
on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you get that one every few rounds, or probably a bit more, every like 6-7 rounds. But for him to be doing it the way he's doing it, equaling Rossi's record, most wins in the class in the season, and paying tribute with that that headband and whatnot.
And winning a title like with four or five races ago.
That's just domination at its finest, really.
Fucking hell, man.
And you got to give credit to him. You got to enjoy that, because you're not going to see that very often at all, you know. You know, hence his nickname, the baby goat.
Yep.
And Tom, he does look like a freaking baby, man.
Yeah, I know. We saw him last night.
We may not have been partying with him.
Tommy,
is he 18?
Nah. Tommy was like smothering him. Big unit. Did that with Stefano Nepa as well.
Shoved him off at one stage, but.
Yeah, it was Nepa came up. It was so funny because Nepa came in and he's like, who the fuck's this big guy?
Big sweaty guy.
And shout out to Rulston. Rulston's like, no, he's with me. And he's like, oh, yeah, cool. And then shook my hand. It was the strangest scenario ever, but I would have had a fool myself anyway.
What a race by him too, man.
Yeah.
Two long laps, or two and a half, because he ended up in there another time. And to fight back to fourth, my God. That
how
was
often do you see that, though?
No, like, you don't? Yeah.
How often do you see these guys get these? Like, it happened in at San Marino as well. They get double long laps, and they're like the fastest guys on the day. Like, it's just put some fight in them, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, if you just sometimes a long lap or two, you're still in the back of the train. And if you're still in the back of the train, you're still in the fight.
That's right. You know, especially at a fast, flowy circuit. It's not like you can make that break too much.
Unless you're David Alonso. Wow,
that's different ball game, as we said.
But it was awesome seeing the boys ride. And, I'm just so happy the conditions held out. And Moto 3, it's always just such great racing. Yeah. It's always so close. And the weekend has been, the racing has been bloody beautiful.
Yeah, it was. Good. It was looking so shit on Friday.
Yeah.
Like, we were sitting in the media center just watching the rain not stop. And I'm thinking, they're not going to be able to park the cars. All the campers are going to be washed away. And then, boom, the sun came out and Saturday and Sunday were ripper days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really good days. And it probably threw the racing up, and it was a bit of a different result to a certain extent in the smaller classes. But those top three bags, Marquez and Martin, they're just head and shoulders above everyone else at the moment.
Yeah, 100%. They absolutely are.
I expected a bit more out of Bastianini in the main race.
Yeah, so did I. And like I said earlier, the same thing, you know, that setup.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's super difficult to get around. Mm. You're trying to extract the most out of the bike in so little time already as it is. you can't really afford to gamble too much in a race either.
Yeah, that's all right.
You know, especially when a lot is on the line. So, you know, you got to. There's so much to take into consideration.
It's a good point.
But now, all in all, absolutely fantastic. We're getting some cool special helmets as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Jacob had that awesome tribute to Mick Doohan, which looked amazing. Yeah. We were fortunate enough to be there for the release of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Senna with his Stoner sort of replica.
That was cool.
That was very cool.
Jack Miller had a really nice
one. And Pedro's mullet.
Yeah, true. But he's spewing. He didn't race though. God.
Yeah, so hopefully he should be right for the next round.
Is it a shoulder or arm? What is it?
Yeah,
do you know?
I think it's a shoulder. To be honest, I haven't looked at any news while I've been here.
Nah, well, we've been too flat out. And we'll probably have a bit more of an in-depth analysis next. Well, we'll watch in Thailand anyway. But with Pedro, I was just thinking as well, they're just going to nurse him to 2025 because they're gonna want him right for the Valencia test.
100%.
You know, there's no point risking him. Not in a championship fight. Doesn't matter.
Nah, that's right. There's no point at all. So, but it'll be interesting. I mean, even Didier, obviously trying to get himself right for 25.
Mm.
I'm very excited to see who's going to take his spot for the last two rounds.
What do you think?
I actually said when they had announced it straight away, I was at home at the house here and I was like, yeah, I'm like Ian Oni for sure. I'm like, that's who I want to see on there.
That'd be cool.
And I'm like, I think that'll be the most logical choice. Like, Bulliger would be good to see.
It's out of them too, I think.
But I don't think Bulliger would get the call up, to be honest. I think you'd be more inclined to see Ian Ernie on the bike.
Well, he's been there to a degree. Well, he's definitely been there. He's ridden Grand Prix bikes.
And even Bulger came out and said, I think, the day before, he'd rather do it with adequate testing and not just be thrown in the deep end.
Yeah.
He wants to do it and do it properly,
which
is fair enough. I get it. But I'd love to see the Maniac back because I think he'd absolutely ruffle a few feathers.
That would be awesome.
You know, he's on a great bike. He hasn't lost touch.
Maybe.
And that'll show if he comes, let's just play a hypothetical. If he does get that call up and he comes in, and you got to be like, wow, maybe he should have been back in the paddock.
I can imagine that. Imagine that.
You know, and he's the kind of guy that's most that would be likely to take out a Pecco or a Martino.
He doesn't give a fuck.
He don't care.
He's the best there is in his mind. Mr. Arrogant.
Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, Mr. Perfect.
But yeah, it's crazy, man. And just on superbikes, while we're talking, congrats to Top Rack.
Yes.
BMW's first champion.
I know, crazy.
His second championship.
That's awesome.
Real hard fought races with him and Bulliger. Bulliger notching out the win for race one.
Yeah.
And him finishing second. Amazing. Gold suit.
Gold suit.
You know, all the bits and bobs.
The helmet.
And Adrian Huertas, Supersport 600 champ.
Yeah.
Same thing, amazing battles.
And he's going to Moto 2 next year.
He's going to Moto 2, man.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
he's going to Moto 2.
Do you know what team it is? Do you remember?
I can't remember.
No, that's all right.
Itel
Trans, is it?
Is it Itel Trans?
Oh,
I think it is.
It might be. It's a big guess.
I think it was, they said something like first champion in a long time or ever that had won a Supersport 300 and Supersport 600.
Yeah, okay, right.
Which is pretty wild.
That's cool. You know what? I hope that works out for him, like getting and having another category to get into the Grand Prix bikes if you're in, a Supersport 300 championship champion, 600, whatever it is, and then you can get them over.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, all the championships went down to the wire. Congratulations to the Supersport 300 championship. Don't know his name, unfortunately, but he won that as well. And Anna Krasko won that. WCR championship.
Nice.
And that went down to the last round as the last race.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was all a jam-packed weekend and obviously Formula One as well with Ferrari going 1-2 and Max finishing third. Apparently it was race of the season.
Yeah.
So
we were,
from everything I've read.
We were still, I think, partying while that race was on. So,
No, that would have been early.
It would have been a crossover and there was no way I was staying up. I was cooked.
T-Shabs was ready to go to the shearing shed.
Yeah, oh my God. He reckons he's...
almost bottled the sponsorship.
Yeah, sponsorship, apparently.
Yeah, I got it and then lost it the same night.
Yeah, you did. That was you the whole weekend.
Yeah, it was.
Give us a bit of a rundown of the nights we've had out of you, Tom. Let's get some sentences out of you.
So first few nights, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, pretty tame. We went out for dinner every night, didn't we?
Yeah.
Daniel did the La Familia Curtis and had came out a few times as well, which is good. And then, yeah, I mean, Thursday night, oh, I don't know. I don't even know what happened Thursday night.
Oh, it was pretty tame.
Pretty tame. A couple of beers and then...
You still had like 10.
Friday night, it was pretty quiet Friday night. The rain all day really killed the mood out of town. But then Saturday, boom, it just was packed in town. We were talking to a few people, the mics, throughout the night. We'll see. We might clip some of that up. We'll see.
When I had to look after Tom that night, I've known him a long time. It was the most drunk and obnoxious I've ever seen anyone in my life.
There was a bit going on.
There was a bit going on. Yeah. I saved you from getting punched in the face, I reckon, 3 times.
Yep. At least, yeah.
But yeah, you pulled through.
Yeah, pulled through. Sunday was just a bit. It's a bit of a blur. The track on a Sunday. Not just for me. I just think it's such a quick day.
It is a quick day. It is a quick day.
From 11 till 2:30, you've got all the races done.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's a great day to come race day, and obviously a lot of people ride down for it. But Saturday seems to be the day now because you get practice sessions, qualifying sessions, and a race. You know,
yeah.
It's all the way from 8:30 in the morning till about 5 in the evening. So yeah. It was a great day of you know, track action, I suppose.
Absolutely.
But we just didn't see. I did not see a bike go around the track until the sprint race. That's how busy we were in the back of the paddock.
Yeah, we were true.
Yeah, like, we were trying I just saw them go past in the media center, but that was it.
Yeah, like I just didn't like, and I remember sitting on the top of the pit straight rooftop. I think we're all there for the sprint start.
Yeah,
and I remember turning to you, Daniel, and I was like, "What the fuck? Like how loud these things were!" Like I remembered it, but I don't think sat there for a start.
And
I just could not believe it. How like they sort of got to their pit box and there's like a little bit of throttle and I'm like, oh yeah, it's pretty loud. And then bang. Yeah. And I'm like, what? It was crazy. That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. And watching them get the drive, how quick they accelerate is insane. Like you can't fathom it on TV until you see it.
Yeah, it's wild, man. Coming out of Siberia is so fun to watch them get all loose and
100%.
It's amazing, man. It's like it went, like you said, it went so quick. I feel like the first half of the week while we were here was pretty tame and just rolled on,
doing
it was
all the nice
and having a laugh, whatever. And then bang, Friday to Sunday, just done.
Yeah, done so quickly.
I know.
Like, well, I don't know about you guys, but I know you are, but I'm cooked.
Yeah, I'm cooked as well. I'm cooked.
It's the sun as well throughout the whole week.
No hat and sunscreen for you the whole week as well.
No hat, no play.
Yeah, far out. He's paying the consequences now.
Yeah.
God. What about the Sunday night? How'd you go last night? After party?
Yeah.
Did it live up to your expectations? Because we've talked about this.
Well, we're lucky enough to be invited into the after party, into sort of Jack Miller's family and friends and everything, which was really, really cool.
And Senna.
And then Senna and Jacob, Joel Kelso, everyone was there. A lot of the internationales as well. Fraud, we were dancing with Fraud Watch for a bit.
We may or may not have yelled at him 15 times. Yeah. That he's a fraud.
That was telling his fraud, gave us dirties.
Bagnaia, we shook his hand, took a photo. Did you get a photo with him?
I did. So I pulled out the Republica hoodie because it was running a bit hot.
Yeah.
So, and he sort of looked down at the hoodie and I was explaining to him what it was.
In Italian?
No, I wasn't drunk enough to try that.
Okay.
I only had a few drinks, so yeah. Like I said, brushing up on the Italian. And I'm like, oh, let me show you what we do. So I pull out my phone, switch to the Republica account, and he grabs my phone and he's like, scrolls down, clicks on the power rankings, and he's like, I see this all the time.
No way.
Crazy.
And I was like, no, you don't. And he's like, no, I do. I see what you guys are doing. And I'm like, far out, man. Like,
pinch me.
Dude.
He would have read Boring Bagnaia a few times then.
Yeah. And then he's like, go on your way.
Yeah.
You didn't think of the shit with Senator Power Rankings.
True. I mean,
they must all see it then. If fucking Bagnaia has seen it, then Fraud Vinales has seen it.
Oh, bro. Like, to hear that, and like, even when we had bumped into Jack on the Thursday and he's like, oh yeah, he goes, I know who you guys are.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
Like for us, we're still fans.
Yeah,
100%.
It's just wild. You know, we try and keep it cool, but like you scream like a little girl on the inside, you know, like.
Last night there was like all this shit happening around us. I'm like, fuck, we just got to play it cool right now. Like we just got to play it cool.
But as soon as we walked away, we grabbed each other. Yeah, like, oh my God.
But it was so cool. There was, you know, heaps of GP riders and Moto 2 and Moto 3 riders.
Because not a lot of locals come out on the Sunday night,
The Saturday night was packed.
But, like, it was just all people from the paddock, Dorna, the commentators.
Plus, you needed your pass to get in. You needed the pass.
So, yeah, it was...
all the Oz GP workers.
Shout out to Joey. She looked after us all weekend with the media passes. So we really appreciate that. It was the best access we've ever had. The best weekend we've ever had down here.
Last night was the most fun night I've ever had.
Pinch. I mean, we remember we came here for Superbikes and we had such a big Sunday night. And we knew it was just going to take it to the next level. Senna getting his podium as well.
Oh, that was massive.
Just huge. Couldn't have worked out any better. Really?
No, it really couldn't.
And the people we met over the weekend, I mean, like, a shout out to everyone who came up to us. Like, we were just blown away with the support and all positive. Like, you know, there's, you're always going to have the dickheads, but we had no dickheads. Everyone was awesome.
It was
shout
really
out to
cool.
the boys from Canberra last night.
They were like your minions.
I had three little followers come. They were getting me drinks, so thanks for that.
And Kyle and the boys.
Yeah, Kyle and the boys. Partying with them. They're a good bunch of lads.
Yeah, yeah, great bunch of lads. Jack Giles and his Mrs. Toby. It was good fun.
Yeah, Jared Madsen as well.
Stephen Brayshaw.
JBL. but yeah,
it was really good. It was really nice meeting everyone, taking and photos, like, fans, of people. It was really, really cool.
I seriously thought our only fans were
we've got
sort of dudes like us. But we had, like, middle-aged women. We had older dudes. We had all sorts of people.
Teenage girls.
That's a bit.
Sorry, brah. It's true, but.
Super.
Bro, we had people in Dorna coming up to us saying they'll listen to us.
Yeah, head of communications, Rachel.
Fran.
Trying to get
shout out.
So she's head of communications for Dorna, travels the world. And she goes, Motorsport Royal Publica, I listen to your podcast. And we're like, what?
Oh, and the funny thing is, she goes, I've got a gripe with you boys. And Tom and I look at each other like, oh, shit. And she's like, it's not Dorna that makes these decisions.
The rules.
It's FIM. So. Every time we yell at Dornuts, and not actually Dornuts, yell at the FIM.
Just to clear that up.
Yeah. But no, she was really nice. Everyone was really cool. It was such a fun weekend. And it was awesome to meet everyone at the same time.
Yeah, 100%, man. It was cool getting around the back of the paddock, seeing some merch and make Honda great again, some Roxy Tees and all the good stuff. So.
Oh, yeah, it was insane. And yeah, a few of our T-shirts rolling around as well. And so it was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put it on. They put on a good show as well, man. OzGP, credit to them.
They've really lifted their game.
P1 parking passes.
Oh, yeah, that was so good.
What a saviour.
Yeah, the parking pass, yeah. Well, we got to P2 parking passes. I'll put the P2 on there. Then we got the P1, so the P1 was on there. So I actually had P3. Plus them together.
Next time we need P0.
We were joking about that. To the lady at the pub was saying, if you put four P1 passes, it becomes like you can take your car on the circuit.
It becomes a safety car.
But there actually is a pass, which is like this lady had. You put on your car, you actually go and drive on the circuit.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
You become the course. You turn your car into the course car. Yeah. I'm not even joking. Yeah. Oh, we met a person that does it.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
So their car was like, it's their own personal car, but they were using it as a course car for the weekend.
I think you have to have a BMW though, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, nah. Can't afford that.
That's not us, bruh. Not the Triton.
Not the Triton or the Maz Jet.
I was we had a podcast with Lorenzo Savadori, and I was really hoping that he was gonna you had to bring him back to the house in the Triton.
The Triton.
That would have been so funny.
That would have been so funny. I mean, I don't think he would have cared, but like with all the dog hair in the back and shit.
Nah, there's no dog hair in that, bro.
Sorry, bro.
Wrong car. That's a Land Cruiser.
Oh, is it the Land Cruiser?
22 shells and stuff inside. That was a good pod too, man. That was such interesting insight.
Yeah, it was. That's our first current MotoGP rider. And yeah, bad luck to him. He had obviously had a crap race, but he was injured, so as we touched on.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Shout out as well to Scott Ogden and Eddie O'Shea.
Bro, how good were the boys?
Yeah, they were so cool, man. It was so nice to meet them and just get that insight on some overseas riders, especially the Brits.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the Brits now. I used to bag out the Poms, but they're really, really, really two cool young guys, and I really hope they do well.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That was such a laugh, eh?
Yeah, they were funny.
That's different. Especially Eddie with his hand.
Yeah, with all the stitches. He had to get declared fit just to ride.
Yeah.
Imagine going all the way to Australia just to be declared unfit. What a pain in the ass that would be.
I know, man.
So talk us through that. So there are actually doctors that make that decision.
Yeah.
So even if you want to ride, they can declare you not fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if they think it's
going to
cause more damage and longevity.
Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting.
They'll call you out. But he was saying that he was grabbing his clutch lever because they got a clutch down.
Yeah.
He was going, had to lift his whole hand and arm around because he's too ring finger and pinky finger couldn't move.
Yeah.
So to grab the clutch, otherwise it'd just jam on his fingers.
Mm.
He had to really wrench his hand around.
God, it's crazy.
Absolutely wild, man. You know, and Scott putting it in P5, wasn't it?
Yep, yeah, Quali.
Yep. We saw him after the race. He was pretty shattered with crashing, but all in all, good weekend with qualifying stuff.
It's part of racing, isn't it?
It is, mm. Yeah.
And the Snipers team as well, we're meant to do something with them.
Yeah, shout out to River Cold Snipers and the press officer there. They gave us 2 jackets, which was really nice.
Absolutely.
I think they had a bit of a
rough weekend
and a bad Saturday. I walked into their pit garage and no one wanted to fucking borrow me, which was very funny, but they passed over the jackets and that was really, really nice to them. So,
100%.
That was very cool.
Lukey Luke. Get him on the pod, live on the pod.
Boys, won't be an episode without some hot takes.
Let's get it going, Jim.
Let's get some Oz GP hot takes.
Should be a few good ones in here, surely.
Yeah, there's some good ones in here. All right, boys, at Willie_Nels. Yannone, Petrucci or Pirro to sub in for Digi? Win it or bin it versus Wet God versus testing? We've already touched on it. We reckon it's going to be Yannone.
Yeah.
It better not be Pirro, seriously.
No,
I don't think it'll be Pirro.
Bro, I reckon it will be, unfortunately.
No, I think that might be out of Ducati's hands. It might be more of a...
Oh, it is?
VR46 call.
Yeah, I think it might be a VR46 call more than anything.
Okay.
And why wouldn't you want someone like Yannone or Petrucci as well? Like,
yeah.
You want a draw card. You don't want Kaylee Pirro.
Yeah.
Especially on the VR46 bike, that's right.
How good did it look, sorry, just by the way, going around?
Yeah,
it actually looks a lot better in person.
It does.
Than what it does on screen.
Especially when it's not smashed to pieces like we saw it after that crash.
Bro, I seen it in the back of the pit. That was mangled.
Yeah, I know. I don't
know
how they salvaged that.
Split in half. And
I remember seeing the...
Galea.
Yeah.
Mavericks.
No photo. They were yelling at me, the mechanics.
No photo.
Like, the whole rear of the bike was like twisted. I've never...
fucked.
Yeah.
Mm.
God, they're pushing that bike in thinking, I'm not stopping for the next 12 hours to fix this thing.
What a fucking shit show.
We'd seen Jax. Was it after practice or the sprint? And the brake disc had snapped. They couldn't wheel the bike.
Oh, good.
Yeah. That was crazy. Then I seen him after he hit the bird. Mm. Sorry, just to go off on a bit of a tangent. Go. Far out, he was making us laugh, eh? In the back of the pits. Like, an F and C of a thing. Brake lever. Yeah, it was crazy. Wildlife at Phillip Island.
Yeah. Oh, no,
there was a lot of it.
It features every year. I think it gets worse every year. There's more
and
more.
I think this is the worst I've seen it for a bit.
And those big geesey looking things.
Yeah, I know.
Bloody hell,
mate.
Just so people know, if you're watching from overseas, that's not a usual thing we see. Like, those are the most unusual looking big birds.
Yeah, I know. I only see them at the Phillip Island circuit.
Yeah.
I went out on a pushy ride on the Wednesday or Thursday morning, and it sounded like it was barking or growling. You know, I've shit myself, and it was one with like little babies. And I'm like, I'm fucked here because if this thing chases me, I'm going up a hill.
I can't climb.
Like, I was like, I'm going to die. They're wild, man. It's insane.
They buddy come to get you.
They're almost the size of a freaking big dog.
Yeah, they are.
They're massive. Huge.
Imagine hitting one of them when you're fucking going 300 km an hour.
Yeah. Well, my family friend hit one here at Phillip Island.
Oh, that's right. I saw the footage of that.
Yeah, coming onto the straight out of the last turn. If anyone wants to watch, I think you just type in sort of Phillip Island bird crash or something. And yeah, he gets smashed. He ends up breaking his ribs and all this stuff.
Yeah, fucking oath you would. 100%.
Like, it'd kill. One of the Ford Racing guys hit it.
Yeah,
they hit like a seagull or something as well. Yeah. And that was like blood all down the side of his leathers and
that's
bike.
Wild, man. What a pain in the ass.
They've got to do something about that. There's got to be a way to deter those animals.
Get La Familia in with the shotguns.
Well, look, if they need someone,
You know what's funny as well? We parked in the center of the track on Sunday. That pond is massive.
Yeah, it's huge.
Giant.
Yeah. Like,
I don't realize how big it is.
Don't realize how big it is. And there'd be a lot of wildlife and shit that comes out of there onto the track. So there's going to be really no way around it.
I think Casey Stoner used to fish in there before Grand Prix weekend.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That's mad.
At TomF145, can we get Kyle Webster on the pod after Motocross of Nations, P1 for Australia? I think it would be perfect timing.
Yeah, tee it up.
Tee it up. If anyone knows him, get him to drop a line to us and we'll get him on.
Get him to contact us.
Yeah, it will be right. At Zia Lee, banning ride height devices would close a gap between manufacturers. I agree.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's we touched on that last week, actually.
Yeah, needs to happen.
Yeah.
Definitely needs to happen. Underscore Derry Call, Aprilia need a major sponsor to be a real contender. HRC will have the best livery post-Repsol.
Yeah, good call to both of those things.
Aprilia, I don't know why Aprilia don't have a major sponsor.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, it might be something to do with Piaggio Group. I'm not too sure.
I reckon that's going to change next year with Martin and Bezzecchi.
I think so.
They're very marketable people.
They are. Absolutely, they are. So I think that is a great call. They do need some money coming in elsewhere. And yes, I think Honda will look great again.
Yeah.
That Repsol Aprilia would be a great combination.
Yeah.
With the Spanish rider now there.
That could be. Could be a thing.
Imagine if that happens far out. That'd be the twilight zone though.
Yeah.
Repsol sponsoring and not a Honda.
Yeah.
Strange.
Nikki D3604. What era were the manufacturers most balanced in MotoGP where one wasn't better than the rest? Which is a great question. I actually think it was between like 15 and 19 because Marquez wasn't on, he was on a Honda that was seemed to be a bit of a dog. The Yamaha was still up there because Lorenzo won a title on it. And Ducati was up there, but I just maybe
they started coming back through.
Yeah, maybe they just didn't have the most capable riders and you're going up against very, very good riders at the same time.
Yeah, it's probably a good shout around that time, yeah. Sure.
Because early 2000s, Hondas were dominating.
Honda dominated.
You know, you can maybe make an argument. Even 04, like when Rossi was on Yamaha, it was really just Honda and Yamaha.
Yeah, that's Ducati right. Ducati were nowhere.
Yeah, Kawasaki was in there, not doing much.
Maybe
Suzuki.
Those few years when Stoner was on Ducati, you could say that they were kind of close-ish.
Yeah, true. Like late 08, 09,
yeah,
10.
Through to 11.
Yeah.
Or yeah, 10 probably more so.
Yeah, that's a good call. But the Ducati was a dog, but the same thing. Stoner was the only one doing anything on it. Melange wasn't, or Hayden.
No, that's absolutely true.
So that's a hard one. That's a good question, though.
That's a great question.
That's what we call a thinker. T-Shav, what are you thinking, mate?
Yeah, sounds good.
He's done.
Yeah. Get him off. If anyone's watching this, he's absolutely toasted. Yeah.
I do apologize for my performance, but... Yeah, I mean, it's just been such a big week. And
best on last night, buddy, reckons?
Oh, what are the grips of despair from about 2 p.m. yesterday to where I was last night is like comeback of the century.
What would you say was the comeback? More beer?
Oh, yeah. I drank a six-pack of beer sitting on the couch here before we went out. All guns blazing. And then half a bottle of wine at dinner and then...
He goes, he had like four beers and before that he's like, oh, I'm fucking cooking. He goes, Jim, I'm back. I'm four beers deep and I'm back. We're ready to go. I'm like, you're fucked.
That's funny.
Ha_Melbon, KDM to be next year's Fraud Watch champ. Should they not challenge Ducati with all their new riders?
They should challenge for sure.
But you know what? That as a manufacturer, they could be on Fraud Watch. If they're not doing anything next year, they are on Fraud Watch. They're on my Fraud Watch radar now. They're on my Fraud Watch radar for 2025.
Yeah, it's a bit stiff, but I think that's just...
They got the riders next year.
They do. They need to pull something out of the bag. Next year's their shot. Next year's probably going to be their best shot. Build to their best shot.
Like, this is where they've got the riders. They've got the talent, which they never previously had.
Mm.
They've got a Pedro Costa. This is where they can slingshot themselves.
100%. And I think they've almost got to go away from that whole family brand. And
yeah, they do.
You know, I know I love Brad Binder. I really do. But if he's not going to...
Partying with him last night, shout out.
Yeah, true story. I'm not going to elaborate on what I was just about to say. Brad Binder.
D-Shav.
Yeah.
BB. Yeah, so if, you know, if he's not performing, they've got to turn around and go, you know what, we can't keep going down this path of keeping someone just because they came up through our ranks.
Yeah.
Move him on, get someone else 100%. In. You know.
And they harshly kind of did that with Miguel for a bit as well. Like, yeah, that's right. They kind of dumped him.
100%. You know, look at what they're doing to Jack now. But unfortunately, at the end of the day, sometimes it has to be done.
You know who's also in the KDM watch list though? David Alonso. Yep. He's all in the Pierre Mobility Group.
Yep.
You know, he's going to CF Moto, staying in CF Moto, which is a KDM. So imagine Pedro Acosta and David Alonso in a couple of years' time as their two main men.
That could be pretty cool.
That could be the best rider lineup on the grid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, he'll probably slip into, yeah, Binder's seat, I suppose, in a couple of years, you'd say. Or maybe 3 years.
Well, he's on Moto2 next year. If he lights the world on fire next year.
He's straight in, isn't he?
Yeah, of course.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Then that's the scary thing.
How old's Acosta? Is he 19 or 20?
He's just turned 20, I think. Okay. Maybe 20 and a half now. But he's only still real young.
Yeah.
That's only really young. Heaps of time. Yeah.
Heaps of time.
Yeah. At Matt Stevens, Motorsport Republica on the commentary team for MotoGP 2025.
It should be on the cards, I reckon.
Yeah. It's no beers before, 3 days in advance before you talk. And
Definitely. Yeah.
I might ramble on a bit, but that's the only problem.
That'd be a hard gig commentary.
Yeah, well, we did a pod which will be getting released in a while for a prominent commentary person that commentated some big things over the MotoGP years.
That Tom also crashed a live
stream.
Oh,
my God. Okay, we've got to set the scene here. Tom was up on the set of the upstairs in the paddock roof.
Yeah.
It's just one of many times where he made a fool of himself this weekend. And this person was live on air. T-Shabs had like 7 beers. He goes, hey, he yells at him from across the paddock. Goes, hey, exclusive.
I've got an exclusive for you.
And he looks at him, talks to Tom, and Tom had nothing to say.
He's like, what's your exclusive? I said, got nothing. I start keep walking.
People were laughing at that. There was random people watching you laughing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, no way. Far out. So silly.
So I reckon you might not be able to be allowed to wear Republican merch the next year.
Yeah.
It could not work in our favour.
Oh, goodness.
You never normally drink at the track either. Because you normally have to pay and you don't like paying.
That was Stewie's fault.
Yeah. That was Stewie's fault, yeah. But that's something that can never happen again. It put me off for the whole weekend, that.
Oh, turn it up.
It did.
You would have consumed just the same amount at night anyway.
And he's not, and it's like he was force fed the beers.
Yeah.
I watched him grab 2 at a time and neck 2 in about 45 seconds.
Rubber arm.
Yeah.
Hey. Right, you are.
Go on. God,
Tom.
This is fucked. At autocorrect_Pat. What's the T-Shav drink count up to? Anything under 60 and he's on fraud watch. Nice. And your performance right now is on fraud watch, T-Shav.
He's almost performance of the week.
He was best on Saturday night.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We walk back into the paddock after the pub on Sunday morning and everyone goes, oh, T-Shav, best on.
Wayne Maxwell.
Tom's got his head down like, oh, no. Didn't want to barb anyone.
I actually felt, walking through the paddock, I felt everybody looking at me. Like, it was just terrible. Like, there weren't, but, like, I was, like, I just had my head...
You were so obnoxious.
There was a questionable moment on the Saturday night.
Yeah, it was so obnoxious on the...
bright red.
On Saturday night, there was people separated around you in a circle. You were bright red, yelling, making an absolute fool of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were a problem. Trying to control T-Shav, fucking full-time job.
Yeah, I'll have a PA next year.
Good luck to that person.
We're going
to
need a lawyer next year, I think.
You're going to have to pay Pino more on security as well, I reckon.
Oh, definitely.
Security.
He kept telling Pino that it was security. And then we went up to the radio people and you go, introduce Curdy as that audio and visual engineer.
Yeah, I know.
No, I said audio and sound. It's like, no, I said audio and sound engineer. It's right, the same thing.
And then I got labelled as Curtis for the whole fucking interview.
Oh, no, that was different. These were the chocolate boys last night.
Oh, yeah, you went up to some random podcast.
And you want to borrow me?
He was trying to talk to him about how he started the podcast and these cunts didn't want to bar him, Tom. Nah. He was just getting ignored. It was embarrassing.
That's funny.
Yeah, he didn't want to talk to me at all. All right, it was funny.
Shout out to We Got the Chocolates.
Yeah, We Got the Chocolates. You don't know if you don't ask, you know what I'm saying? So...
You gotta put yourself out there.
Go, might as well give it a crack. We done?
No.
We've still got another 20 minutes.
Yeah, we still got at least.
What? How long?
We've only been doing this for 40 minutes.
Chris_Seps. How cool is the Mick fucking doing? How cool is Mick fucking doing? Get him on the pod at Benzina Stables with a live audience. My idea.
Okay.
We want to get him on a pod.
Definitely the live audience is not a good idea. We need beautiful sound quality
for do.
For someone like that.
Yeah.
But we definitely want to get him on the pod. If anyone knows him, put in a good word for us because he would be one of the most interesting pods we'd ever do.
Yeah, that could go on for hours on end.
100%. T Shavs, it's called Papa. Crazy how if we remove the top four Ducatis, Acosta would be the champion.
I thought Binder's outscored Acosta.
That's what I got told.
On a Sunday he has, but maybe the sprint race. So, wait, Acosta's fifth in the championship.
Someone get it up.
Let me get it up. Let me get it up, man.
Someone get it up.
Can't be, can he?
T-Shav, how you feeling, mate? Good. Not good? Speaking the mic.
Sorry, not good. What'd you expect, man? What'd you expect?
Binder's fifth?
Yeah, I thought so. 192 points.
It's called Papa. What are you doing, mate?
You're on fraud watch, puppy.
He's only 10... Acosta's on 181 points. He's only 10 points in front of
maybe this
Mighty
was,
Mav.
Oh, this, okay. Before, this could be before
this,
the weekend.
This is before the weekend, these questions as well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, of course.
At Brendan Sarton, hot take, you have stamped yourselves as Australia's number one motorsport podcast. That ain't a hot take, that's just a normal take.
It's facts.
Common knowledge.
We are easily Australia's number one motorsport podcast, by far.
Yeah, it's quite a sizable gap to second, so.
That's just a robotic answer.
Yeah, that's like, yeah. That's a political answer. check Patreon for the real one.
That's fucking ridiculous. That's all I got, boys.
Beautiful. Yeah, nice.
Beautiful.
So let's just get on some Superbike talk.
Oh, no, please.
Talk about the liveries.
How good did Tom rate? Nah, that's a weekend wrap-up, boys. Yeah, Philip Wyland, you're amazing.
Yep.
We are a little bit all hungover and tired and weathered, especially Tom. We'll be back up to more of our cheery selves next week.
Yep.
Thank you. Shout out to everyone that came up to us. Thank you all for saying g'day. It was awesome to meet everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shout out to OzGP for putting on a great weekend. Joey for hooking us up with media and everything like that.
Yep.
All the Dorna people, everyone we met, yeah, I don't know if I'm missing anyone, but...
No, thanks to everyone. It was amazing. Best weekend ever.
Absolutely. And thanks to you boys, you know. And like I said last night, we should all be proud, especially you three. And big shout out to Curtis.
Yeah, Curdy the Enigma. Yeah. Got photos of the Paddock girls as well.
Yeah, they actually asked him for photos, believe it or not.
I heard his voice.
They seen him, they're like, I watched them lick their lips.
Big and lips.
Huge. Sydney Renault's lips, hips and tits. But no, all jokes aside, be proud, boys, because what we've achieved in the time is amazing. Like amazing. I said to James and Curtis last night, very proud of you all.
Yeah.
It is amazing. And again, shout out to everyone that's been around and helped us out, from the guys at Moto Heaven to the boys at Benzina Stables to HJC Australia and everyone else along the way, to all of our families as well. It's been absolutely amazing.
It's been awesome. And it wouldn't be possible without the listeners and all the fans. And we greatly, 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 we definitely do not underappreciate it.
No, it's amazing. Not at all.
It's all because of you guys. We love doing it. We love all the feedback. We love how you all listen and watch. It's a lot of fun and it keeps driving us forward.
Absolutely. And there's plenty more to come.
Yep.
So a lot of inroads were made. So watch this space. It's going to be a lot more clips away from the podcast.
Yep. T-Shav's got a lot of inroads, got a lot of ins. Then Daniel and I kind of saved it at the death. So that was kind of the weekend, wasn't it?
That's pretty much the weekend. And, whatever you guys said, I appreciate you boys a lot. That's it. Thanks, everyone.
See you next week, boys.
See you next week. Thanks, boys.
Cheers.